It should be the attempt and try of man that a person should continually be in the state of fikr, of concern and thinking. And this thinking and concern should overwhelm us continually, that we are going to one day depart from this world, and that death is a reality. And this fikr, this concern on a regular basis is very, you could say, low in quantity in our life. Because when somebody is concerned about something, then it's apparent in his reactions. For example, if I need to pay my electricity bill, then I will see some actions that reflect that concern. If I don't have money, I'll ask somebody for a loan so I can get some money together to pay that bill. And this thought will revolve in my mind, and I will, even while I'm eating, I'll think, I need to pay this electricity bill. I don't have no money. If I'm driving the car, I'll have fikr. If a friend's coming, I'm speaking to him in my mind. That thought is revolving. So the mu'min, the believer, should have this style. His body language always should reflect that that person is in the state of fikr regarding that maut will come. And when a person is far from this fikr, that's when a person becomes negligent. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that remember death often and try to attend the graveyards, because this dunya makes a person ghafil, unaware of his destination. When a person becomes neglectful of his destination, then obviously he will not do actions to reach the destination. If a person has to give an electricity bill that's overdue, he has fikr, he will gather the money, collect the money, he will do something to pay the bill. The other person who has to pay the electricity bill doesn't have any care, any due attention, he'll just sleep nicely. Doesn't matter if the electricity cuts, gets disconnected, because he didn't do fikr. And then he'll be in an emergency mode at that time. So we have to pass away, we have to pay the bill. So either the electricity will be disconnected, or it will continue if you pay the bill on time. So if we today get this fikr that maut is to come and we need to be prepared, then obviously we'll prepare for the akhirah, for the hereafter. And the person who doesn't have this fikr, then he will not do the preparation. For example, I prayed salah, that's fine. But that's not enough fikr. This is Jannah that we are traveling towards, subhanAllah. It's not some minor objective that we can just think about when we got some spare time. I'll just go into a house when I get there. This is not fikr. This is Jannah. Paradise. Paradise has levels, stages, darajat, different abodes, different rewards. What great things are awaiting for us, lie in store for us. What great rewards for those of Iman. Allah Ta'ala has given us free of charge Iman. Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. That we should think that there's such a big difference. Nobody can explain the difference between the two people, one who has Iman, one who hasn't. We're here physically the same. We're eating, drinking, living, breathing. But there in the Akhirah, we will realize the wealth that Allah Ta'ala gave us of Iman. I swear by Allah, we will realize what a great, great wealth Allah has given. It's just like, for example, we've got Iman free of charge. Like, for example, you get allotted a plot of land. And after getting allotted the plot of land, you have money. You have wealth, and you don't build a house on that plot of land, and you live on rent. And they'll say, what a mad person. What a mad person. People say, no, he's got money, he's got the plot, he's got the plot free of charge. Yeah, it's a plot which is worth 1 million. And he is not constructing a house, and he's living on rent, and he's struggling. And the people say, oh, he's a bit lazy, neglectful. Imagine. And then tomorrow when we'll go to Jannah, inshallah, the people say, you foolish person, you had a plot of land allotted. Allah gave you Iman free of charge. Allah gave you Iman. Belief. And you didn't think for a moment that you should construct on this plot a building, a palace, a mansion. You're wasting your time. Either you had to say, okay, you couldn't construct it, but you had to buy the plot and it's expensive. Allah saying, I've allotted the plot to you already in paradise. And all you had to do was to make something due to your amal, where, along with the currency of your deeds, you could have plotted a house on that plot. But we don't have fikr here, we have fikr, I've got to get up in the morning, go to work, we'll run around. And in the evening, I'll put money in my pocket. pocket and I'm happy. Ah, I've earned. And then if while I'm walking somebody steals and commits burglary, then my money's gone. Oh, I worked hard. I went shopping. I don't know how my money fell out of my pocket. My eyes are red all day long. Red shot my eyes up because I worked all hard. And these things show that person has worry, fikr, that you will work again the next day and you'll earn some money again. But thereafter, when I have regret for the time I wasted in this world, they've regret in thereafter. I had so much time in the world, valuable deeds I could have performed. I could have practiced those amal to become a rich, wealthy person in hereafter, but I won't be able to rewind the tracks. So is there not a need for fikr? So the first point is we need to have fikr, worry, concern. Let's do dua Allah. First, Allah, please allow the fikr of the hereafter to overtake us. That we, for example, when somebody's ill, we visit them, we assist them, we read the janazah salah, the funeral prayer. Don't we have a concern that tomorrow we will also be lying in a box, the coffin? Okay, he was 50 years old. He was 70 years old. Okay, you're 50. You think 20 years are going to pass slow? You cannot even realize how fast they pass. We've come here, we've left our lands, and it feels like we just came here yesterday. We don't realize that this many years have passed that we've arrived here. We cannot even imagine that this many years have passed. One man, he works, he's driving a taxi, someone's running a shop, his business. He cannot even realize that this many years I've worked here. 30 years I've worked in the shop, but after that I retired. And I thought, 30 years I've worked in this shop? It was like, it was yesterday. Where's that time? Because I used to run a business, I used to do this, I used to buy stock and instill the stock into the business and sell the stock. And it all disappeared. 30 years of life is gone, suddenly. So, if that person who died, recently 70 years old, and I think I'm 50 and I've got a long life to live, 20 years gap is nothing. Rather, I should do shukr, alhamdulillah. I'm still present here, and I'm alive. I should start today to construct for my hereafter. I know this person who just died, when Mawlana Sahib used to explain to him, and good people used to tell him, he wouldn't listen, he wouldn't come to salah. He'd never take the heed of the call, but I should become alert. This man has passed away in front of me. He's reached his destination. May Allah Ta'ala forgive him. But now I need to start preparation now. Where has this person gone? He was with me. He used to sit with me. Yusuf Bhaiya, don't forget him. Don't forget him. Just looks like now he's stood here and he's standing and he's adjusting the clock. I still feel like I can't forget him. He's in my mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that 1 year before I start his preparation, that those pious people, the people who are beloved for me, to me, I start to prepare them a year before for death, and I call that person towards Jannah. I never saw him in any Ramadan, 4, 5, 6 years coming here, that I never saw that he sat in dhikr. Good man, great person. But mashallah, in this Ramadan, I was surprised that he was sitting here in front of me, near my knees. In front of me. And from my heart I thought that this person in the previous Ramadan, the dhikr and all of the dhikr sessions of Ramadan, and he has earned the forgiveness. Such a great dhikr gathering in this, alhamdulillah. Those people Allah Ta'ala allows to come and sit. That the dhikr on the night of Thursday, on the night of Friday. How did Yusuf Bhai come and sit down? I didn't even call him. And afterwards I couldn't understand. But then subhanAllah, when we were praying his funeral prayer, I said, I understand today, Yusuf Bhai, I've understood today. That what preparation Allah Ta'ala made you prepare for death. So, used to serve the house of Allah, and Allah prepared you for death, and he departed from the world. That's it. And this is something to see and witness and understand, that how Allah Ta'ala prepared him for death, that nor did I say to him, come to dhikr, nor did I seat him down. And he became so immersed in dhikr, so habitual. He loved it, and he would leave everything and come to the front and sit. And he'd run, hasten, and he would do dhikr of Allah with enjoyment, with taste. So I couldn't understand that time, that suddenly, who's called him? Who's given him da'wah? So many years he's never sat in dhikr. Now suddenly he's sitting in dhikr, and I realized that 3-4 months he had of life left. Allah Ta'ala made him start to do those amal, such a great amal of Ramadan, that he was forgiven in advance of death. Subhanallah. So my brothers, this is the fikr we should have, the concern. So will we have this fikr? Yes, inshaAllah. So don't waste time. We think I've got time to kill, time to waste. We, a mu'min has time to waste. Allah Ta'ala has given such amal to human beings, to us, such deeds, that no time can we waste. Jannah should be constructed upon constructed upon constructed. A mu'min, and every second of a believer's life, he should be constructing paradise, his abode. Oh no, I'm a sinful. No, don't even bring that excuse forward. Allah says, even for the sinful person I've made Jannah. For the person who doesn't pray Salah, he's got an opportunity to make Jannah. Allah is Rahim, merciful on the people of Iman. Allah's karam. Allah knows that he's sinning today. He's sinning today, but give him amal. Let him continue to do amal so he constructs Jannah. Allah says, inshallah, due to your deeds of constructing your house in Jannah, your sins will disappear as well. So never say, I'm sinner, I can't do this. These are the people of Dhakireen. They are people of Tabligh Jamaat. They can do good deeds. I can't do good deeds. I'm a wasteful person. No. If you're alive, even if you've committed a sin, come, if you see a dhikr gathering, come and sit down. That this gathering is not belong to anyone else. If Allah Ta'ala, the Maula, the protector is calling to us, say, all of us, okay, I've committed sins, this is my fitrah, it's my nature, that my nafs has overwhelmed me, I've committed a sin, but why should I leave this gathering if the river is flowing? Why shouldn't I jump in and wash myself? So I should think, all of us should think, if I'm sinful, I'm dirty and dark, then Allah Ta'ala says, if you are sinful, then I'm Rahim, that can you compete and bring your sins in front of Allah's Rahmah? Allah says, bring as many sins as you can. Bring them. Stack them up. Can they compete with Allah's Rahmah and mercy? Allah Ta'ala says, my Rahmah is always ghalib over the sins. It always overpowers the sins. Diminishes sins. My heart feels I'd like to present a hadith to you, a very nice hadith. And from this hadith, a deed emanates. Shall I tell you this hadith? Yes. This is a beautiful amal that comes out of this deed. And inshallah, when we hear about this, we shouldn't leave this amal. Why, my friends? Because the reward of this amal, this hadith, the rawaya, the narration of this hadith, a few days before I read this hadith, and it's come to my mind, alhamdulillah, this hadith. The rawi, I cannot remember the narrator. But alhamdulillah, hadith is in front of my eyes, in front of my mind, and this is a Musnad hadith, and I remember this. I read this hadith some days back, and I was so overjoyed when I read this hadith. I tell you the truth. I went into sajda straight away, I prostrated. That look at the reward Allah Ta'ala is giving here. The reward. That this is the preparation for death, and this is the great preparation. That subhanAllah, from this hadith we learn preparation. So what was the content of the hadith? That the first thing that Allah Ta'ala, who will be the first people that Allah Ta'ala will call in paradise? SubhanAllah. Now can we imagine, us, me, you? Can I imagine that I am included in that group of people that I will go? Allah Ta'ala says, that, do you know who will be the first person, which men and women will I summon firstly on the Day of Judgment? If we're included, then how much enjoyment will attain? Those people who Allah Ta'ala will call first and foremost, then obviously the people after that. So first will be the VIP people. You know, like you have a passport, VIP title. Okay, we have India, Pakistan, you have resources, you have people, you know, they're here. Resources and influence doesn't really carry weight, but there, in the Indian subcontinent, if you have an officer, somebody you know, and then you have a passport, you know somebody who's an officer, he takes you to the front of the queue, and the stamp is applied to the passport, and then they take you out. Happens sometimes. Why? Because he's VIP. He's got contacts and references. Okay, bring your passport, takes him to the front of the queue, and he stamps on the passport and says, okay, you can bypass this queue, and he goes and sits in the taxi and goes home, and the rest are still there, stuck in the queue. So on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala says that I will apply the stamps to your documents and let the rest of the dunya see who you are. But Allah Ta'ala's special guest, Allah says that you are placed in high regard by me. For example, if you have a VIP person in the world, even if a VIP person cannot be summoned to the front of the queue and he can't pass, Allah says that I show you, here, come to the front of the queue, no struggle on the Day of Judgment, no struggle on the Bridge of Sirat, no struggle after that, first and foremost into paradise. Shall I tell you the amal that will give us this reward? Will you practice this deed? Say the honest truth, and if you don't, then you'll regret on the hereafter. Start today, shall we? With the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's every advice, Allah Ta'ala gave his message via Sadiq Mastuq. Allah is haq, and his Nabi is haq and honest. Allah is honest and haq, and Rasulullah is honest and haq, and the Sahaba who gave us the message are haq and honest as well. So let's look at the deed. It's a great deed, brilliant deed. Shall I tell you the deed? Yes. And the Bayhaqi hadith has been narrated that on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala will call which men and women first in paradise. Which people will they be? It will be those people who used to do the dhikr of Allah, who used to remember Allah. Subhanallah. What a great reward for performing, doing the dhikr of Allah. But there are only a few people who do this here. You say that everyone can do this, but show me, demonstrate to me how many people do the dhikr of Allah. It is only for those people, and today in this day and age, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah is on those people, that this is a generation of drought. materialism. Who wants Jannah? Who wants paradise? Who wants to remember Allah? So alhamdulillah, if Allah Ta'ala is making us do such an action of dhikr of Allah, we should be so grateful that we cannot imagine how grateful we should be. Allah, your karam, Allah, your mercy, you have given us such a great amal, such a great deed. The people, they say, oh, what's dhikr? Oh, leave this action, we don't have time for this. Oh, the walis of Allah do this, we can't do dhikr. These are for the special elite people. We don't have time. I pray to Allah, I don't need to do dhikr, we say nowadays. But today Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity. Those people have the fikr of the akhirah. As those people who spend the whole night doing dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. It stated about him that when Fajr would come, he would start dhikr after Fajr, then the walls of his masjid would shake and tremble. Such was the power of his dhikr, the effect of his dhikr, the intensity. And even the people who had the laundry, at the laundry, those who used to wash the clothes, you understand the dhobi guard, the people used to take the water and clean the clothes. And it stated that so much dhikr Hazrat would do, intensity, high intensity, that the dhobis, the people in the laundry, like the dry cleaners, that they, when Hazrat would do dhikr, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, the effect of that dhikr would reach to those people, alhamdulillah. Not this, and it wasn't a drama. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sabramdre, he had such an intensity in dhikr, and we see his ilm, his knowledge, the kitabs he wrote, they are read today and shared in the corners of the world. So dhikr, when Allah Ta'ala gives a person the ability to do action, then the barakah of the action spreads. So if we have a muhaddith who does tafsir of the Qur'an, a mufassir or muhaddith tafsir of hadith, who Allah Ta'ala gives a field, a subject, career path in Islam. So a dhakir who does dhikr, then due to his dhikr, his career path, it improves. We have alims, they all do tafsir. But the dhakir alim, he'll be unique. He'll be unique, he'll be separate. And his shan will cease, not cease there, it will multiply and increase, subhanAllah. So this is a great learning, but there's a condition here. A precondition, Allah Ta'ala says. That this is a fact. A person, a man or woman who does the dhikr of Allah, first and foremost, Allah Ta'ala will summon them in Jannah. But who? Allah Ta'ala has put a condition, and be careful on this condition. We need to fulfill that condition. It's not hard, because we will inshallah go into paradise first, if we do dhikr and fulfill the second condition. And what big condition will Allah Ta'ala ask us for anyway? That condition, those conditions Allah Ta'ala lays down, they also benefit for us. They're not for the dunya, that man, you have to do this first, I'll give you this much money if you do this action. That person who's given the money looks at his benefit. But Allah Ta'ala says that this is my condition and this is for your benefit. For your benefit, Allah says, I'll give you more. With the condition, I'll give you more. What's a beautiful condition Allah has laid down? Allah says, those people who go into paradise first, those men and women who do the dhikr of Allah, who remember me, Allah says, whether they're happy or sad, in every condition they remember me, Allah says. What a great condition Allah has laid down. For this reason, Allah has laid down this condition, this word I understand today, is that in our lives, Allah says, our lives flow. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ مِنَ الْشَيْءِ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ Allah Ta'ala says that the life fluctuates between good times and bad times. Allah Ta'ala says you have hunger, poverty, problems, difficulties, illness, children, family, problems. Always our life will revolve around issues and problems. Is anyone, somebody's relative has died, someone's in hospital, someone's got a stomachache, somebody's got a problem, illness, disease, family issues. Nobody's happy. Even the kings are not happy. Even the leaders are not happy. Everyone, Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ in the Quran, that this is my hukum, that everybody's life will float between happiness and sadness. And when we think that somebody's got a problem, then say, Allah Ta'ala has decreed this, this will happen to me. But Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ subhanAllah, that for this reason I'm giving you the fluctuation of good and bad. Allah Ta'ala says, I want to elevate your status. I want to not keep your life on one spot, you keep on sleeping and not benefiting. No, I'll give you illness, problems, pain, poverty, tight times in life. For this reason, that Allah Ta'ala says, I want you to be promoted, so you come to me with alertness, so that your laziness goes away, your problems go away. Where will you go? You got stomachache, Allah, Allah. We say this, don't we? Allah, Allah. And then when we sneeze, we say, Alhamdulillah, don't we? When a problem occurs, if somebody becomes ill at home, then we'll go, oh, sorry, Allah, Allah, please give him the cure, give her the cure. We say this, don't we? So this is Allah Ta'ala's karam, mercy. Allah Ta'ala takes us out of negligence, laziness through illness, through problems. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ Allah says, I've kept this for this reason, because this will occur. Allah says, I've made you for this reason. But the foolish people, what do? They don't understand that Allah Ta'ala has given them hardship, difficulty for hidayah. When a problem comes, difficulty comes, issues come, then the Quran says, Surah Al-An'am, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that my Mahbub, that on the previous nations, when I would deliver them, when I saw that these people will not become good and correct, then I'd give them difficulties, problems, calamities, issues, sadness, distress, so that they can understand. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, that Allah Ta'ala said, I didn't give them punishments, I would just put them occupied with problems and distress. And when a person becomes distressed and has issues, then he'll turn to me. Won't he? Allah Ta'ala says, but at that time, Allah says that their hearts, even then, they were hard. So remember one point now, we need to learn from this ayah, this verse, that when Allah Ta'ala puts a person into problems, difficulties, hardship, then don't keep your heart's heart. And how are the hearts hard? Allah Ta'ala says further in the Quran, their hearts were hard because they never understood. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, Zayinu shaitan amalu. The shaitan would influence them to do more bad deeds and they would go more towards haram. They will go more towards the unlawful deeds. They cannot even imagine that due to our sins, Allah Ta'ala's adab is coming to us. Allah Ta'ala has grabbed us. So we should reject this wrong and turn to Allah. Allah Ta'ala said, if they rejected the wrong at that time, then I would have removed the adab straight away. If they had repented, what a beautiful point. So whenever a person has issues, problems, difficulty in life, rather than running towards more vice and more evil to eliminate the issues, then straight away what we should do is do tawbah, repent, turn to Allah. Allah, firstly, the reasons that I have earned the adab, the punishment of Allah, the reason is that Allah Ta'ala is unhappy with me. First, I will eliminate the sins from my life that have earned Allah Ta'ala's displeasure. Allah says, if the previous qawm nations had done the action of tawbah, repenting, oh my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if the previous nations had done tawbah, I would not have sent them the punishment, but their hearts stood firm, they continued to sin, shaitan assisted them and they increased and multiplied their sins. Then they said, oh, let's sin more. Shaitan whispered and advised to them, do more. And this is how you get peace, contentment. Oh, you got problems? Don't worry. Go more towards this and start doing this action. Try to cancel. And then they broke their sharias and they continued to multiply their sins. Rather, what they should have done is that when Allah Ta'ala instilled them into a problem or gave them issues, then suddenly they should have turned the made a U-turn and improved their life. Such sins I've seen. I've seen such scenes that Allah Ta'ala said that when they were instilled with the problems came into their life and then they turned to Allah, did tawbah, they became walis of Allah because they understood the formula. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ Allah Ta'ala says that they understood the formula that Allah, why have I got problems? Why have I got difficulties? Why have I got issues in life? Allah is unhappy with me. I've done something wrong. Straight away I should understand. Then we should reject the sins. And this is the pattern of life. Problems will come. Ups and downs will come. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a beautiful formula. What a beautiful formula. At this time Allah Ta'ala says that when difficulties come in your life, whether it's happiness, difficulty, enjoyment, so many enjoyments come, sometimes a person becomes overawed, overwhelmed with the happiness, and the person continues down the path of still not doing good. Because, for example, a person starts to forget what's happening in life. When a person's getting married, so a difference will make. It's only one daughter of God, and those who are going, they've got their clothes, and they've forgotten that we are the servants of Allah. And what are we about to do? What is the work of the deen that we're doing? Suddenly a person forgets the environment. Due to environment, Allah Ta'ala has given you happiness, then you forget Sharia. In times of happiness, you don't know how to commemorate the happiness or celebrate the happiness. And that beautiful majlis of the wedding ceremony, you've made it haram. What sort of happiness is this? Allah is Rabb. Allah says, I give you happiness, but then with happiness I can give you sadness suddenly as well. Allah says, everything's in my control. So this Allah Ta'ala is saying, this is my test. That if I give somebody so much happiness, that like for example today people have got happiness, everyone's forgotten the objective of life. People have got dunya, people have got lavish comforts and money and wealth. They've forgotten their life and where they're going, where is Allah. And they're going more towards kufr, more towards kufr. And they think that this is progression, Allah's reward, advancement. Allah says, no, that this is what I do to the previous nations. I give them punishment of more dunya. When these three things go, then their hearts become hard. Allah says, they haven't understood my message. They don't understand what is the difficulty. And they just stood firm on their problems. The sins are there in their life, and they're more steadfast on sin, and they're progressing more towards sin, and they advance more towards sin. Allah Ta'ala said, when their sins were there, and they didn't decrease their sin by 1 inch, 1 millimeter, they have the same sinful way of life. Allah says, what do I do then? Then I grab that person or those people. And that's when the punishment comes. When Allah grabs and the chances run out, Allah says, nobody can then release that person from my grip. The doors close, the doors of Tawbah close, then nobody can release that person's grip from me, Allah Ta'ala says. So this is a big learning. So this is the routine of our life that we must make. So what do we learn from this hadith? Is that whenever we have a test in life, problems, calamities, issues, worries and headaches, what should we do? Dhikrullah. Dhikrullah, Allah says in the heavens, that these will be those people where there's happiness or sadness, difficulties or ease, but they will never leave my dhikr come what may. And they understood my message. Allah says, that sadness will dissipate due to dhikr, and happiness will multiply due to dhikr, and everything in our life will become prosperous due to what? The dhikr of Allah. Allah says, when they've realized my message, that never leave my remembrance, never leave my dhikr, in every happiness, in every sadness, in every fikr, in every concern. Allah says, they never left me. If they become ill, then lie down on the mattress, they remember me. Allah says, they continue to fulfill their tasbih. Subhanallah, they fulfill their tasbih. That, for example, Allah that doesn't directly come to that person, does he? Allah Ta'ala says that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent, the angels came to him, the Quran came and the Sahaba came after that. So just same way the Mashaykh Ikram, who are the deputies of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they come to us and we have the good company. For example, we see the hadith that this person narrated by this person. So if somebody asks me, I will say that this, for example, Hazrat gave me dhikr and his Shaykh gave him dhikr and his Shaykh gave him dhikr, and this goes back to who? The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just like our silsila goes back to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was given the sohbat by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ijazam, then he gave to who? Then he gave to, in our Naqshbandi silsila series, our dhikr is unique compared to others. Everyone else's silsila meets with Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. The chain, the series, the order goes back to Hazrat Ali. But there's a hadith here that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, whatever is in my heart, the affairs and the blessings, everything that's in my heart, Abu Bakr, I've poured into your heart. So this is khafi, silence. So we also do maraqba, alhamdulillah. This is the teaching emanating from Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this was his tariqah of silence that Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instilled into the heart of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, the learning of silence, dhikr. This continued to be passed on, taught on, and has come today to Bolton. So the switch, the current, runs from all those centuries back, and today the same teaching, the same learning is reapplied. The hospital that came from day one, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the supreme physician and doctor who prescribed to us. And today, if for example, if you close your eyes, and then for example, you ask a sheikh, that what is this dhikr? And explain to you, this is the dhikr of the Naqshbandi series order. What a great action we started doing, dhikr of Allah. And we attained this ijaza, permission and procedure from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Can anyone imagine the greatness of this? So you shouldn't leave this dhikr, should we? From today, let's make a pact with ourselves. Whatever dhikr I've learnt, the dhikr of the heart, and I don't even need a tasbih for this. Whenever I lower my head and I see that there's a moment, then for example at that time, whenever for example there's a free few moments, I close my eyes, Allah, 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 concentrate on the heart, and the highest form of dhikr is being done at that time. And this is the hadith of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and the dhikr that Hazrat Siddiq Akbar taught us. So I should think, why am I wasting time? Whatever actions we do, we still get 5 minutes rest. If you're in office, you get a break, don't you? And as you go, you can add the breaks out. And then, for example, even if it's a 5 minute break, let's do some dhikr of Allah in this 5 minutes. Why? Is that time running empty? Many taxis we can catch to go somewhere. Many places we want to go to a shop or something to buy something. But we don't attend the dhikr of Allah. The heart, when it tells us to do something, then we're doing it for a reason. But we don't pay attention to the heart at that time, because the heart, it gives us many different thoughts emanate from the heart. So we have to cut those off. We have to bring the name of Allah into the heart. And we've seen this, haven't we? If you, for example, you do an action, that you're an optician, and you want to check somebody's eyes, and what are you doing at that time? Your hands are being used. So why is your heart committing sins at that time? Why? That if you're doing work, you're committing work, then straight away take your heart to Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. And your heart will say the name of Allah. And you'll have to practice this for a few days, and you'll become used to it. Accustomed to it. And you'll become used to doing the dhikr of Allah. And the question doesn't arise then that you'll leave the dhikr of Allah. For example, you're testing and in the heart, Allah, Allah, Allah. For example, the taxi, you're a taxi driver, chauffeur, you're driving and the heart is doing Allah, Allah. You're standing in your shop behind the till, tick, 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 the till is being opened and closed, but your heart is doing dhikr of Allah. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. What a beautiful verse, what a beautiful statement. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, my brothers, that this is a great learning, dhikr of Allah. Tomorrow we may not be here, we could disappear, and Allah Ta'ala may change the circumstances. Today make a niyyah, and we will be included in that niyyah. Make a solid niyyah today. Make a niyyah, doesn't matter. Even if you are weakness or gap, you're not sincere in your niyyah, that you'll say, Allah, I want to do dhikr of Allah, I want to remember you. And those who have not learned, learn that, Hazrat. You told these other people, teach me as well how to do the dhikr of that. That same second I'll tell you, no precondition, no other reason, your link will become made with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. You will join the elite exclusive club of the next month, the order, and on the day of judgment you'll be called first, the come into paradise. So why don't we make this transaction today? Today Allah Ta'ala sent somebody, a man, he's come to teach, the dhikr of Allah is starting. So whenever you have an opportunity, if you haven't learned dhikr, learn it. I tell you, learn it now. Don't waste time. Those people who have come to learn dhikr, there's a condition for that person. Fulfill that condition. What is that condition? What is it? That condition is very essential. Without that, we cannot earn anything in the life or the hereafter. Without that, we cannot do nothing. What is that precondition? That on our face, there should be the blessed beard. One minimum fist length of the beard. And that's when the dhikr will have a good effect. Person who doesn't have a beard, who wants to learn, make the niyyah. That from today I've done tawbah, I've repent, and I'm going to start growing the beard. And Hazrat, please teach me dhikr. I will teach you dhikr, and you can stop cutting and trimming the beard. And you slaughter your beard yourself every day. What's the loss of this? There's many consequences. And I'll tell you a very unique hadith. That one beard, the beard, if it's less than the length of one fist, if a person trims or cuts the beard less than one fist, somebody has this much, someone has this much, short, that's not beard. And the definition of deen. You can have a car, if there's a car, and if it's the whole complete car, you'll say it's a car, you can drive. But if you bring half a car, it's not complete. In the same way, how long should the beard be? One fist length minimum. On all four, a'imma and mujtahideen are collectively agreed on this. This is wajib, compulsory, it's a major sin. Major sin, person who does not keep the beard is a fasiq, evil doer. There's not this, you have a choice, I can keep it, not keep it. No, that person's a fasiq. And it's a severe punishment on the day of judgment, a person who cuts or trims the beard. That person who cuts the beard, trims the beard, the hairs that he cuts that drop to the ground or wherever he cuts the beard. The person who trims the beard from all sides, remember from all sides, the sides and the bottom, the beard should be one fist length in length. Allah Ta'ala has assigned specific angels. We cut the beards, astaghfirullah, and the hair of the beard, and we are killing the sunnah. This is what the words that we should be using. We are killing the sunnah. And do you think that your hair, they fall into the sink and into the drain pipe, and they're washed away? No, no, no. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. This is the hadith. The sunnah of 124,000 prophets of Allah and the Sahaba Ikram and the pious predecessors who passed. This is their sunnah. This deed started from the beginning of time. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he prefers this action, in the story, you've got to emulate it and practice it. You can't just shave or trim your beard and throw it down the drain pipe. No, it won't just be. Allah Ta'ala has made a system. Specific angels have been assigned. Soon as a person trims or shaves the beard, they collect that hair. Subhanallah. So these hairs that are being trimmed, they're being gathered. And what will occur? That when that person dies who trimmed or shaved the beard, then those angels who are assigned the duty of collecting the hair, they will gather all the hair of the beard that he trimmed or cut, and they will twist that hair into a rope, and it will become a noose, and they'll throw that noose around the neck of that person who trimmed or shaved his beard. And after throwing the noose around his neck, they will drag that person from the rope made out of the hairs that he trimmed. Imagine the pain and the difficulty. They'll drag him through the witnessing of the people into the hellfire. Then after that, there are adab, punishments due to trimming or shaving the beard due to that deed. Now tell me, is there benefit in this world of trimming and cutting the beard? If you've grown the beard, why do you make a fuss that you trim it and cut it? That you cut it from this side, you make it like this shape. Just straightforward, this is not in our control. This is not our decision. This beard is a ni'mah of Allah. Allah's gift to man. To man. And for example, we need to make efforts. For example, we say that don't, for example, during the first 10 days of Eid al-Adha, the time of the of sacrificing the animal, then at that time we don't cut the hair, we don't let the hairs drop, and at that time we are told don't cut one hair. The beard is not there. And when we fulfill that order, then why don't we fulfill the order of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Rasulullah Sallallahu said clearly that lengthen the beards and trim the mustaches. So where's that order gone? We fulfill all the orders of Hajj of not cutting the hair or breaking the hair. And we do that without any question. So I could tell you many hadith of Bukhari and other collections that this is the condition to learn dhikr, that you should grow the beard. one fist length minimum, otherwise there's no success of dhikr. That person who trims his beard less than one fist length, remember all four sides, the beard should be one fist length minimum. Those people who don't do this action, then there are severe words in the hadith and punishment for that person. And if the beard is minimum one fist length, then from today leave the sin of cutting or trimming the beard. Will we leave this? Of course we will. Is there any benefit of cutting the beard? Trimming the beard? Tell me, what's the benefit of this action? Tell me one benefit that I look handsome, the people in the world are running after me, and they're taking my photos. What an ajeeb and a beautiful, handsome man, and the women are running after me, and they are falling in love with me, the world is falling in love with me. But there's the curse of the angels at the same time. Barakat have been eliminated, evaded, and your salah is being wasted, your worship is being wasted, your Ramadan is being wasted. Tell me, is this the consequence one? Your Hajj is being wasted. In this condition, when a person goes to the Rawda Mubarak, the blessed Rawda and grave of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, shall I tell you how much pain that person is giving to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The Rasulullah is saying, this ummati of mine, where's he come from with this face? The person who trims or shaves the beard, imagine the person who gives the pain to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Read the verse of the Quran, that those people who give pain to my Nabi, that's the verse of the Quran. Allah says, there's adab waiting for that person. Adab. Punishment. So this is a waste of time crying. This is fake crying. Fake crying, this is no link with Iman. Those people who cry and let the tears flow. Person who has a link with the Prophet, okay, you've lied, you've backbited, you've done this and this and this. But at least that you are challenging Allah and His Rasul by committing the sins. And you're saying that I'm fine, that I'm okay. What kind of life is this for a human being? So what dhikr will help us in the hereafter? So from today, do true tawbah, repent, end of story. That's it, mashaAllah. So today if we do tawbah, repent, do tawbah today, and everything, all your difficulties will disappear. Allah Ta'ala's barakah and nurani life will come. Allah said that he has committed tawbah, the previous are forgiven, and the future. So for example, and all our future sins will be forgiven, inshallah, if we are sincere. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. And before we learn dhikr, make an honest intention that I'm going to grow the beard, minimum one fist length, I will let it grow, lengthen, then come and learn dhikr, come with dhikr. We waste our time, but Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you first will be the first walking into paradise. Nothing is difficult. There's no thing that is hard for us in the deen. Going to Jannah first is not hard. Tell me, is this difficult? It's not difficult. We can do it. And we've made it so difficult in our minds and eyes and heart that there's nothing that we think that we can do to earn paradise. No, no, no. To live in the world is hard. I swear by Allah, but to go to the hereafter and get Jannah is the easiest. I swear by Allah, and I tell you this. I swear by Allah. That so happy is a muttaqi when he passes away. He's so happy that his heart explodes. He says, Allah, I'm so happy. And if I tell you the events like of this, that you'll be amazed and shocked. I speak from reference. I speak from events, practical events. He's so happy that I was trapped in this world. Allah, this world was too hard for me. Allah, I'm so grateful that you've taken me away from the dunya so I can go into the life of the hereafter, which is forever. And here to be wretched and to be wretched in the hereafter. What's the point of this? What's the point? Think about it. Think about it. So we should try our utmost that keep ourselves busy in Allah's remembrance. And the easiest deed to remember Allah is what? The dhikr of Allah. That there's no thing, we don't need to utilize our brains, we don't need to utilize our bodies too much, and it has no relationship with illness or being healthy or purified. You're lying down just saying, Allah, 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 Allah. No working hard, no trying too much. You can be 80 years old, you can be 90 years old, and 90 years old, pious predecessors, I saw the dhikr that he did, nobody else could do dhikr. He would be in maraqba all day long, eyes closed. And we said, oh, it's time to retire now, Hazrat. And you can rest. A person, the more he becomes old, the more dhikr he does, because it becomes easier for him. And Jannah, paradise, subhanAllah, goes inside his abode. And for us, with a longer life, it becomes hard to pray salah, fasting. But dhikr of Allah has no preconditions, no time. Aha. And I've seen the events, evidence said that sitting in the corner of the Kaaba, and subhanAllah, they're just looking, sitting at the Kaaba. Hazrat was there, and the sight of the Kaaba was there, and Allah was in the heart of Hazrat. All day long and night would pass like this. Not doing tawaf. Hazrat could go and do tawaf. Everything was not necessary. I saw this at Hajj time as well. The Hazrat didn't do too much struggling, striving. I saw this in Muzdalifah, alhamdulillah. I saw this in Mina. I saw people like this in Mina. All night long, sitting in one corner, a man with the fadal wala. When I went once, last time I went, all night long I saw in Mina, that this person is hot, what's he doing? Allah, 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 in Mina, doing the dhikr of Allah, subhanAllah. No mujahida, We can't decrease, we can't increase in the time that's gone. Allah Ta'ala has given us such practical actions that we can make Jannah upon Jannah. So, my brothers, that we should love such a great action, dhikr of Allah, let's not waste this opportunity. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you all as well. Ameen.